Gracias. Good morning, everyone. Happy Easter to you. Hallelujah, he is risen. Wonderful. It's great. It's good to fellowship together. I'm glad you took time out of your busy schedule to come here Easter and worship with us and celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I want to start off with a video that will tie what we talked about on Friday in with what we are going to celebrate and rejoice in today. So God's richest blessings to you as we begin our Easter worship with a short video.
Lahu Danesh Hana Hayau Le Ahodo.
Tatmarlan Inanatu Mashiha Bara de Haleha
Anea na
Good Fa. Mashlam.
Jesus Christ and what we celebrate. Let's stand, please. Let's lift up our voices and praise to God with our first hymn. Alleluia! Christ is risen. All praise to God the Father.
Who raised Christ from the dead.
All praise to God the Son, Jesus Christ.
To him who conquered sin and death.
All praise to God the Holy Spirit.
The Spirit that gives us life.
Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean.
We have sinned against you.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let's pray. Almighty God, Heavenly Father, through your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, You have overcome death and opened the gate of everlasting life to us. Grant that we who celebrate with joy the day of our Lord's resurrection may be raised from the death of sin by your life-giving Spirit through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated while Chaplain Bob shares our scripture reading.
The Old Testament reading is recorded in Job chapter 19, beginning with verse 23. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead, or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end he will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him. With my own eyes, I and not another, how my heart yearns within me. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 51. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. That's wonderful. Please rise. On this Easter, as we hear the Holy Gospel, according to St. Matthew, the 28th chapter. After the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who is crucified. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he laid. Then go quickly and tell his disciples he has risen from the dead, and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I've told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. And they came to him, clasped him by his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess, I believe God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Please be seated while we sing. Very simple message I'd like to share today, just really 2 points, forgiveness and life. Beginning video that we had, we connected the cross with the resurrection. Speaking with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, how can we thank you enough for our Lord Jesus Christ? Lord, open up our hearts and minds, that your word would create faith and sustain faith, that the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts would be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. Amen. So, Resurrection Day and the cross, they go together. We have forgiveness and we have life. And what we see is we see the love of God in its absolute fullness. Jesus Christ dying on the cross and the complete fulfillment of what he had promised in the Word of God. And we saw it on Good Friday, how God had everything in place. He reigned. He had everything totally organized to work our salvation. First point I'd like to share with you centers on our forgiveness. And forgiveness centers on sin. We don't talk about sin a whole lot. That's not a word that you generally hear. As a matter of fact, in churches, if you hear a word or sermon that's really hard, you know, talking about sin, we even have words for that, like fire and brimstone. You know, it's a little too heavy. And so you get that. But, you know, we all sin. And I like to make it a little bit practical for us and tie it into the world that the apostles were experiencing. It's really hard when we make big mistakes, isn't it? I was thinking of an example of myself, to humble myself and give you a little example of a colossal mistake. Most of you know who, as a pastor, have served, and also we were missionaries, and that meant we had to go out and get our support, right? Well, Rachel was a little baby, and I was a teaching assistant at University of Oregon in Eugene, and I had an opportunity, along with Jill, so Jill and I and Rachel, we had an opportunity to go visit St. Luke's Lutheran Church. This was cool. We're looking forward to it. We needed support for our mission overseas and what we were doing as a translation consultant. And so pull off the interstate just north of Eugene and pull up to St. Luke's Lutheran Church. We pull out all our stuff, and if you can imagine, like, it's set up out there. We had a nice little banner. We had a nice little display. It was gorgeous, you know. And then we had this video and media that we wanted to share. So we asked the janitor. We said, "Well, where do we show this? Where do we go?" And the janitor said, "Oh, okay. Well, you just come up here, and I'll take you back." He took us back to the back room, and I began to think at that point that usually we're greeted by a mission committee or a pastor or something, and there was nobody there, just the janitor. And so I asked the janitor, I said, "You know, is Pastor so-and-so, when does he get here?" And he says, "Oh, no, he's not the pastor of this church. It was some lady." And if you can believe this, on the same street, in the same small little town, there is another St. Luke's Lutheran Church. They're like, you know, blocks away. I mean, who would know? And you talk about embarrassment. You talk about shame. I mean, you don't want to admit it. You don't want to. Oh, my goodness. And hold on. It gets better. Because so we just bite our pride. And, you know, we take everything down, load it back in the car. Fortunately, there weren't very many members of the church showing up at that point, so we kind of just politely moved on. Get to the church where we're going. The first service is done. Thankfully, I didn't have to preach that weekend. It would have been horrible. They've started the Bible class, and the pastor was not supposed to do it that day. I was. Oh, my goodness. I think the only redeeming factor in that fiasco was that we had a baby. I mean, how can you hate a baby, right? So you just got the baby there. Hey, yeah, we're stupid. It's good. It's all, you know. I mean, but, you know, we don't like to admit that we're wrong. We don't like to admit it. We feel really uncomfortable. And sometimes we're the ones that made the mess. We are. And we don't like to own up to it. We don't like to live in it. You know, like later on at that, after the Bible class, you know, the pastor invited us over to his house to have a meal. Now, you know, I think for me, I was like, sure, you know, that'd be great. I'd love that. Very humbling. I mean, some people might have said, no, I've bothered you enough. No, I'm sorry, just please excuse me. We're just going to go and, you know, just get lost and, you know. But we had fellowship with them, and I'll come back to that. You know, the Bible calls that sin. That's what the Bible calls that. And whether, you know, and our culture too, our culture does not deal with this well. We don't have a word to describe that sort of thing. We really don't. And we philosophize it, we psychologize it, we tend to recast it in our world, that it's somebody else's failure. We throw it on somebody else. You know, well, you know, it was my parents or something like that. Well, that I couldn't blame on my parents. They're great. You know, well, maybe, you know, it was my schooling. You know, it was something else. I don't know, but it wasn't that. It was the system. It was, you know, community, society. Well, yeah, I get it. But doesn't that make it worse? If the system, because we're all part of a system, if the system itself is bad, we're skunked. The whole thing is rotten. It's bad. It's sin. And this is what we do not want to own. And if you think about it on after the crucifixion, talked about this on Friday. I mean, there was enough sin and guilt to go around everywhere. You know, one of the brutal ironies of that day, the crucifixion, is Nicodemus, a member of the ruling council that condemned Jesus Christ, was the only one that had the boldness to take him down off the cross and also go to Pilate and ask for the body with his rich friend Joseph of Arimathea, putting him in his own grave. Where are the apostles? Where are the disciples? Where's Mary? Everybody has failed epically, incredibly, hugely. Forgiveness. We need forgiveness. This is the beauty. This is the beauty of Easter. You see, we see the fullness of it in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and then in the resurrection from the dead. We need this forgiveness. And you saw in our gospel text, isn't it amazing? Don't miss this. Did you notice that the angel appeared differently to the two groups of people? Why? Soldiers were scared to death. Women weren't. Women were in amazement. The angel talked to the women. There's no record that talked to the soldiers. Jesus met the women, shared with them, talked with them, gave them direction, gave them leading. Faith is what separated them. Faith is what set them apart. They believed, and God senses that. He knows that. He hears that. He responds to that. And he told them to go to Galilee, and I have a longer reading in there so you could see. So they went, as just Jesus told them, and they went up to Galilee. There's a lot of stuff that happens in between. There's a whole bunch of stuff in the Gospels of John. There's all this in-between stuff. But Matthew just picks it up right with them going as what Jesus told them to do. And they went to Galilee. And they met him there. And there's one part that's interesting to mention is that, you know, Peter is up there as they're at the lake. And Peter decides to go back to what he was doing before. And he says, come on, guys, let's just go fishing. And they go out there and they go fish. And then Jesus shows up and he calls them back in. And he offers them forgiveness. And he speaks to them. One of the most important things for us to get, one of the most vital things that you need to get from Good Friday and Easter is that your sins, your failures, your life of sin is forgotten. It is forgiven. Do you know that? Do you live like that? Do you sense that? Do you feel that? Do you hold yourself accountable for it? Do you hold others accountable for it? You have been completely forgiven. When Jesus Christ met them, he didn't talk about the past. And he went out and called Peter back in. Peter wanted to go back to the past, as many people do. And we oftentimes live in the past. The past is not where Jesus Christ leads us. He brought us back. He gave us forgiveness. That forgiveness was real. It was powerful. He wants us to live it. He wants us to practice it. We must move on. Back to my story where I was at the church. Guess what happened? We did go have lunch with that guy. Wonderful pastor. Beautiful family. Homeschoolers, just as we were. We became friends. They became one of our major supporters in our ministry. Who would have thought? You see, Jesus Christ, he just turns things around. It is powerful. It is real. The forgiveness of sins gives us life. And just to get really practical in finishing this up, I would like you to give some thoughts into taking that into your everyday life. What does it look like? You see, when Peter came back and he brought him back and all the apostles are standing there, Jesus reminded him that he had work for him to do. What has God given you to do? Say, well, I'm not Peter. Peter went back to catching fish. Jesus said, you're going to go back to do exactly what I told you to do. That was to fish for people. How does Jesus keep you on track? What's he giving you to do? Might be a little simpler than you know. Might be a little simpler than you think. Let's say you're married with your spouse. If you're married, you're married under the grace of God. The covenant that you've made one with another. How is Jesus speaking to that? How is the forgiveness of Christ speaking to that? He's leading us. He's guiding us. In your relationships with your family, how is the forgiveness of Christ known and seen and evident? The tomb is empty. This is new life. This is a new hope. This is powerful, life-changing that we take in. Now, maybe that means it's more than just a confession that we do at the church service. That is great. I rejoice in that. That is wonderful. Maybe it's actually the words that we speak, the thoughts that we think that are shaped and formed by the words of Jesus and Holy Scripture. Maybe it's the prayers. Maybe it's the humility where we will say, all right, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I'll own that. Do you see how that speaks of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? It's a powerful message. And, you know, the way God works it, it's almost like one by one, individually. Your world is not my world, and my world is not your world, but Christ is in all of those worlds. And his word and his life and his forgiveness and his grace speaks to that. and leads that. What we need to do is not want to go back and hide and live in that tomb. Tomb's empty. We need to go on just as Jesus called them on. And he sent them out. There's a verse in Philippians 1:6. May God, who begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you our lives. We give you our relationships. We give you everything. Lord, we ask that you would work just a humble peace and confidence in your forgiveness, and that you would plant within us a desire and asking to see you living in our lives and through our lives. Lord, we ask this in the precious name of your Son, in Jesus' name, amen. May God bless you. Our service will continue now as we sing our offertory. On the back of your bulletins, you'll see the various prayer requests that we have. I would invite you, please, to take that with you, hold on to it, and please, in your prayers, remember these individuals. And if you do have prayer requests, please feel free. We would encourage you to submit them, share them with me, and you can do that online, and also there's a prayer box in the narthex. If they are confidential, just please let me know. You can text me, phone me, email me 24/7. And it would be our pleasure to pray for you, and our prayer team would be their pleasure as well to lift you up in prayer. God's blessings to you. Let's go before our Heavenly Father in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for sending exactly what we needed. And Lord, that you controlled kings, the power of darkness, everything perfectly so that our forgiveness would happen. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your amazing love for us, your great concern for us. Lord, in your mercy. And Lord God, as we gather around your table, we ask, Lord, that your blood, that it would speak to us the forgiveness of sins. Lord, that it would make us one in you. Lord, that it would make us sense and feel and know that we are forgiven. It would enlighten us, Lord, to see the people that are next to us, the people that we know are also forgiven or called to receive your forgiveness. Lord, we just thank you for the great grace and the love that you have for us. Lord, in your mercy. And dear Heavenly Father, We ask that you would bless us, Lord, in the ministries of our church. Lord, we thank you for leading us and for guiding us. Thank you so much, Lord, that we can have the fellowship after this service. It's such a wonderful thing, Lord, after coming out of all this COVID restrictions. Lord, that we can do this. We need this. Thank you for it. Lord, we ask your continued help with the building project, that it would go smoothly and safely. Lord God, we ask that not only for the building, but for the building project that you're doing in our own lives, that you would continue that, you would be glorified in it, and you would bless us in our service to you and our small groups in LWML, in the preschool. Bless their ministry. Bless the little ones, Lord, the seeds sown in their hearts. Bless our work in Haiti, Lord, the opportunities we have to feed two schools and the work of Trinity Hope. Help it to continue in that troubled nation. Lord, be with the Stouts in their preaching, in their teaching and planting of church in France, Lord. We ask your blessings to be upon it. Lord God, we ask you would continue to inspire us, especially bless our fellowship this morning as we gather after service and before the second one. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, we know this world is a troubled place. We think about our brothers and sisters in Ukraine and also in other places of the world. Lord, sometimes we're just not aware that we have brothers and sisters that it will cost them their lives for being known to be Christian. Lord, that's almost impossible for us to understand in our world of incredible comfort and ease. But Lord, we lift them up to you. And we ask that you would bless them, Lord, in the privilege that you've given them to suffer for your name. Help them to know that we are praying for them. Help them to know, Lord, that you are with them and that your Holy Spirit strengthens them and will give them exactly what they need to say at the right time, that it even might be a word of grace and salvation for those that persecute them. Lord, we ask for our own government. We pray, Lord, that you would bless them with the power you've given them for a season, that we could continue to worship freely. And that as citizens of your kingdom in this world and as citizens of this nation, we would live a life of dignity and respect and love for everyone. Lord, in your mercy. Dear Heavenly Father, we have friends and we have family that need the special touch of your care. Lord God, we thank you for watching over Scott. We thank you for strengthening him, for sustaining his life. Lord, we ask that you would continue to be with Ken and Bill. And Lord God, we have friends and family and church members. We have neighbors and acquaintances and co-workers, some that know you and some that don't know you in the love and grace of your forgiveness in Christ. Lord, we lift them up to you. And we may be the only people in the world praying for them, Lord, and we thank you that you've given us a privilege to do that. Lord, so let us pray with boldness, coming before your throne of grace, asking for mercy and help in our time of need for others. And continue to strengthen us and keep us steadfast in prayer, we pray. For into your hands we commit everything for which we pray, trusting in your mercy through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our service will continue now as we celebrate Holy Communion. I invite you to rise, please. My dear friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb who is sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored us to everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you've had mercy on those whom you created, sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and Christ's blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and in the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive and renew and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us to do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." My dear friends in Christ, the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. Kevin, God bless you. Take and eat. Precious body of Christ given for you. Holy blood of Christ given for you. Forgiveness of sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith now and unto life everlasting. Depart in his peace and his joy. Usher Fred Holhubner will lead you up to the front for Holy Communion. And you'll see in your bulletins, during our communion, we will be singing a hymn. And the choir will be leading us in part of it too. Thank you. You can be seated. Drink the true blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of of all of your sins, faith, holy blood of Christ. Chris, holy blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Sam, take and drink the true blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Dave, friend, holy blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Morin, holy blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Liz. Carolyn, precious blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Maxine, holy blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Andrew, holy blood of Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may this, the true body and blood of our precious Savior, strengthen and preserve us in true faith now and unto life everlasting. Let us depart in his rich peace and his joy. Amen. Holy blood of Christ, Chris, blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Fred, blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Phil, blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Joyce, blood of Christ. Ken, blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness. Holy blood of Christ shed for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may this, the true body and blood of our precious Savior, strengthen and preserve us in true faith, now and into life everlasting. Let us depart in his peace and his rich joy. Amen. It'll be close. I'll go ahead and get it because you'll be able to read on the story. I'll take these back. dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may this, the true body and blood of our precious Savior, strengthen and preserve us in true faith, now and unto life everlasting. Let us depart in his rich peace and his joy. Amen. Kevin, I didn't see anyone out there. Okay, thank you. Please stand. Let's pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. Lord, we implore you that of your mercy, you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. This through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Let's remain standing while we sing our closing hymn. What a joy worshiping with you this Easter. God's richest blessing to you. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. Live in that joy and also rejoice in the fellowship that we have after the service. So there's some wonderful goodies there. And let's enjoy some fellowship together. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.